See you later.
Welcome to Red and Gold. I'm your host, Rachel Sanchi. With OTAs and minicamps in full swing, the release of the 2013 schedule, and the draft right around the corner, there are a lot of exciting things going on in the Chiefs' kingdom. Stick with us today as we break down everything you need to know right here on Red and Gold. Coming up, our cameras go behind the scenes at the Chiefs' local pro day, where college prospects from throughout the Chiefs' kingdom try to show that they have what it takes to make an NFL roster.
It's an opportunity for us to be able to get some local kids into our facility, have a chance to evaluate the guys that probably means a little bit more to being from Kansas City and being able to work out for the Chiefs.
There you go. Have a little fun here now. Boys, have some fun.
Then I chat with new Chiefs Special Teams coordinator, Dave Toe.
You know, you have to instill that we're actually going to try to win games. We're going to win games on special teams. And once you get that mentality set, the guys kind of buy into it. And then it's all about effort. You know, the guys give you 100% effort, you know, in practice. And then during game day, you get the results that you want.
And we spent some time with Kansas native and Chiefs Hall of Famer, Gary Spaney.
When I got the phone call from the Chiefs, chose me in the third round, I was just thrilled that I had the opportunity to play so close to home.
Legendary players like Gary, along with the Sea of Red, the Tomahawk Chop, and many other great traditions, make Arrowhead a place we all hold dear to our hearts. One of the traditions that originated in Kansas City back in 1963 was Chiefs mascot war paint. We caught up with the woman who keeps the tradition alive every week, Chiefs cheerleader Susie.
My name is Susie, and I have a really cool job. My job is to ride war paint.
Chiefs fans, please welcome War Paint.
I want to see you on your feet. Let me hear it loud and proud.
War Paint actually became the Kansas City Chiefs mascot in 1963 and continued all the way up into 1989. And then in 2009, they decided to celebrate the Kansas City Chiefs' 50th anniversary and also the AFL's 50th anniversary and bring back this longtime tradition. I was asked to ride war paint in May of 2009, and I'll never forget it because our cheerleading director, Stephanie Judah, approached me and said, you know, would you like to ride war paint for the home opener? I said, of course, that I would love that. Kind of felt like somebody just kind of had to pinch me for a second to, because I thought I was totally dreaming. She said the only thing that we have to do is make sure we practice a lot and then also keep it a secret from everybody because we didn't want it, you know, the fans to know what we were gonna do. We turned out able to find a great paint horse and put in a lot of hours under the saddle, training and riding. And turns out game day went awesome and the Chiefs decided that it went so well that they want to have her for the entire year and ongoing to the future. A typical day for me when I was a child would be that I would wake up in the morning, I'd go out and I'd clean a couple horse stalls. I would get a couple horses saddled and I would take off riding, whether it be down the road or in the arena practicing for a show event. I just loved every part of riding and enjoying horses. I actually grew up showing in local shows, like 4-H shows and FFA shows, and I've had the opportunity to go to a lot of different shows and really experience the horse world, I guess, in all different aspects. Just recently, in fact, I got back from the Pinto World Championships, in which I placed reserve, grand champion, in two different events, which is a really exciting thing. And then also placed top 10 in many others. We've been blessed to go to many different world shows and do very well at them. Not only do I have the unique opportunity to ride war paint, but I've also been blessed to be a cheerleader for the last 3 years. Being on the squad beforehand, I just thought, what an awesome thing, and I thought that life couldn't get any better just being a cheerleader, and then having this amazing opportunity to incorporate my love and my passion for cheering and performing with my love for horses. So it all just kind of fell together. War paint and I have a bond like no other. When I got to meet that horse for the first time last year, I knew that she was something special. I think that she knows that I trust her with my whole heart. I can tell that she loves her job because every time we run, her ears are forward and she just kind of has this content look in her eyes. And when horses' ears are forward, it means that they're happy. I really miss the horse when I don't get to see her, and she definitely gets lots of kisses from me.
Well, Susie sure does have fun and adds excitement to the game day experience at Arrowhead. Although Susie is a current rider of War Paint, do you know who the original rider was? Any guesses? His name is Bob Johnson. Back in the 60s and into the early 70s at Old Municipal Stadium, Bob and War Paint would race around the field after every score. The crazy thing is that Bob didn't even wear a saddle. Bob and War Paint even led the Chiefs through downtown KC during the team's Super Bowl IV victory parade. Now, although he's quite popular, I'm not sure if War Paint can win any games for us this season. But I'll tell you what can. Special teams. I recently connected with the new special teams coordinator, Dave Tope, and discussed his recipe for success. I'm with special teams coordinator Dave Tope. Now, Dave, you are no stranger to Missouri. You were on the coaching staff of the University of Missouri from 89 to 2000 before joining the NFL ranks with Coach Reed in Philadelphia.
Yep.
Is this a little bit of a homecoming for you?
It is. I've gotten a lot of calls from people, you know, back in Columbia, you know, saying welcome back, you know, and it was great. We had a great stay there. In fact, my son Shane was born in Columbia, Missouri.
Now, after your time in Philly, you moved to Chicago where you had a 9-year string of success. What was it like working in the Windy City?
It was great. We had a great stay. 9 years at any one place as an NFL coach is a long time, and we were very fortunate to be at a great place like Chicago Bears.
Now, in Chicago, you had one of the best kick returners the league has ever seen. What was it like working with Devin Hester?
Devin made my job easy. He just get him the ball and just tell him to go. I mean, there wasn't a lot of coaching going on, I tell you that. You know, we set up the schemes for him, but after that, it was all him.
Special teams isn't just about kick returns, field goals, punts. How many plays does your playbook have?
We have a lot of plays. I mean, our playbook is pretty big. At any one time in a football game, you're going to have 25 to 35 special teams plays in a game. And at any time, one of those plays could win or lose a game for you.
Your special teams unit has been ranked in the top three for 8 years in a row. How do you get that kind of production from your players year after year?
It starts with the head coach and the philosophy. You know, you have to instill that we're actually going to try to win games. We're going to win games on special teams. And once you get that mentality set, the guys kind of buy into it. And then it's all about effort. You know, the guys give you 100% effort, you know, in practice and then during game day. You get the results that you want.
Don't go away. When Red and Gold returns, we'll catch up with Chiefs Hall of Famer Gary Spaning.
The fact that I ended up with 999 tackles, I call it is the biggest PR move that I could ever make, because it's a number that people remember.
Then we take the field at the University of Kansas Hospital Training Complex and give you an inside look at the Chiefs' local pro day.
For a lot of kids, it's been their dream growing up. You know, I've had a couple guys tell me that they've been watching the Chiefs since they can remember, since they're little kids. You almost have to calm them down.
Think you know your Chiefs? Well, let's find out. Who is the all-time leading scorer for the Chiefs? A. Priest Holmes, B. Dwayne Bowe, C. Tony Gonzalez, or D. Nick Lowry? We'll be right back, so stay tuned for the answer.
This is a pen, not just any pen. This pen doesn't take notes, and it certainly doesn't doodle. The sole purpose of this pen is to make things happen. This is Chiefs General Manager John Dorsey's pen, and it's been pretty busy lately. But don't worry, there's still a little ink left in it for the draft.
Before the break, we asked you, who is the all-time leading scorer for the Chiefs? The answer is D, Nick Lowry. Believe it or not, most teams' all-time leading scorers are kickers. And Nick tops the list for the Chiefs with 1,466 points. Welcome back to Red and Gold. Think of your favorite defensive player to ever play for the Chiefs. Many of you are probably thinking about Neil Smith, Bobby Bell, Tom Bahali, Derek Thomas, or any other Chiefs great. Of all the defensive legends that have played for the Chiefs, only one can hold the all-time record for tackles, Gary Spaney. Drafted out of Kansas State in 1978, this hard-nosed linebacker spent his entire NFL career with the Chiefs. And when it was all said and done, he had his name in the record books with 999 tackles. Not bad for a kid from Western Kansas.
I was born in Satanta, Kansas, very small town, out Oklahoma, Colorado border. Where I grew up, we'd have to move away from the windows because the wind would be blowing so hard. You'd see the tumbleweeds. They'd turn on the lights in the middle of the day because it was so dark because the dust of all the farmland would be blowing through there. So I grew up in small town and then ended up in Manhattan my last couple years of high school. When I got to Manhattan, they said, well, do you want to play defense or offense? I'm like, hey, I play both. You know, I like them both. How can I choose? And but obviously, I was smart enough to choose what I was probably a little better at, and that was playing linebacker. My time at K-State was interesting because it wasn't a good program at the time. They kind of had good players and mostly Kansas kids that played for them and really did well, but they didn't win a lot. So for me, making that choice, do I go to K-State, KU, Arkansas, and Oklahoma was kind of what I narrowed my choices down. I don't know how people find you in Manhattan, Kansas at the time, but they do. And it wasn't probably the smartest thing to do to go to K-State. Looking back, we just didn't win. and that was the hard thing about K-State. But obviously, the great thing about team football is who you play with. I had a bunch of great guys, not only Kansas kids, but people from all over the country. And so, great time at K-State. Back then, there was no combine, so they kind of flew you in, and that's really the only way you knew there was some interest. And Buffalo and Philadelphia were the two teams that I felt were most interested in me, and so I obviously got an agent, and you kind of go through that process, and they said, you know, they projected me somewhere between the second and fifth round. Sure enough, when I got the phone call from the Chiefs, she chose me in the third round, and I was just thrilled that I had the opportunity to play so close to home. Totally shocked me because I didn't realize at the time how much interest I had, but couldn't have been more pleased that I had the opportunity to stay close to home. I think one of the best memories I have is I don't know if my mom missed a game. How about that? I mean, that's pretty amazing. And my mom is a great football fan. For her to come watch her son play every Sunday was just amazing. I played with some great football players. You know, the Art Steels of the world, Jerron Cherries, Albert Lewis, Kevin Ross, Gary Barbaro, Gary Green, Bill Moss, Mike Bell, and just great football players. Back then, obviously, we didn't move from team to team a lot, so the chemistry was very special, and especially a 3-4 defense. It takes time to learn how to play 3-4 together, and so all those memories are very special to me.
Stay tuned. When Red and Gold returns, we head over to the University of Kansas Hospital Training Complex for the Chiefs' local pro day, where college prospects from throughout the Chiefs' kingdom try to show that they have what it takes to make an NFL roster.
It's an opportunity for us to be able to get some local kids into our facility, have a chance to evaluate the guys that probably means a little bit more to being from Kansas City and being able to work out for the Chiefs.
There you go. Have a little fun here now. Boys, have some fun.
Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs.
They're not going to catch it. Derek Johnson on a linebacker blitz.
Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. and Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365. Welcome back to Red and Gold. Every year, a handful of local NFL hopefuls are given the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to train in front of the Chiefs coaches here at One Arrowhead Drive. In this edition of Access Arrowhead, presented by Prime Sport, we give you an all-access look at the Chiefs' local pro day.
There you go. Have a little fun here now. The boys have some fun.
Qualifications for Pro Day are you have grown up, gone to high school in the Kansas City area, you went to college in the Kansas City area, your parents live here now. So it's an opportunity for us to be able to get some local kids into our facility, have a chance to evaluate the guys that probably means a little bit more to being from Kansas City and being able to work out for the Chiefs and being able to put them through some tests and just get them in front of our staff and our coaches and personnel staff. It's essentially the same drills as the combine. We'll do a height, weight, arm length, hand size.
We have the 40, obviously, which is the most popular drill. We're looking for guys to run really fast. Obviously, that's one of the most important, you know, elements on the football field. And then we have the pro agility, trying to get quickness, see who can change direction the fastest, and broad and vertical to see who's the most explosive. And then the final piece of the puzzle is the position work. See guys really put it all together and run routes or, you know, do blocking drills for our coaches.
What I need you guys to do, it's important, is when you come up to the top, right before you come out, hold for 2 seconds. Pause there, and then go ahead and roll out. We're gonna run two, cycle it through, okay?
For a lot of kids, it's been their dream growing up. You know, I've had a couple guys tell me that they've been watching the Chiefs since they can remember, since they're little kids. And so really, a lot of guys are self-motivated that way, and you almost have to calm them down, you know, because you can just see the nerves of kind of being in an NFL building. Most kids have never been in an NFL building before. Being in front of a general manager, a head coach, they're pretty motivated from the start, but the best comes out of them, and quite a few of them had real good days today. It helps the kids that may not have gotten an invite to the combine, but would be good enough to possibly get a shot at this level.
Stevenson was a great example of this local workout, you know, helping players get to the next level and being successful. You know, we see these guys out on the field and at practice, but to get our hands on them like we did with Donald here, it's a really good opportunity.
We'll be right back, but first, let's see how well you know Kansas City. Which city has more fountains in Kansas City? A, Paris. B, Venice. C, Rome. D, Athens. When we return, we'll reveal the answer. Welcome back. Before the break, we asked you, which city has more fountains in Kansas City? The answer is C. Kansas City has over 200 fountains, but is still second to Rome. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Red and Gold. To get caught up on previous episodes, check it out at kcchiefs.com or follow me on Twitter at kcchiefs_Rachel. To keep up with the Chiefs 24/7, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Prizes are given away all the time, and we keep you in the know of all things Chiefs. Until next time, go Chiefs!
Trap.